This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. Welcome to the Gareth Cliff Show with Ben, Mabali, and Sia.
Hello.
Ooh, I don't know. I just feel like I'm out of breath. Good morning.
What are you anxious about now?
No, I'm trying to think. All I was carrying was my bag, my laptop, and a bottle of water. But somehow I'm already just like.
Sia, also the hopes and dreams of the show. So as you know, Sia is the executive producer of the show. Now, in the past, we've had producers. But Sia, I mean,
with the shade this early in the morning.
No, okay, but like, continue. No, I mean, no disrespect to other people. It's just that Sia has so much to do here that I walked in this morning, you know, kind of 10 to Gareth time, and you know, like when Gareth's away, so I'll run the desk or Sia'll run the desk, whatever. But there he was briefing Mabali on our superstar movie star interview that's coming in at 7:30. But he was talking to her in such a way that, like, okay, Mabali, we can't stuff this up.
Yeah.
This guy's a big deal. What we must do is this, this, and this.
Basically,
it was like a high level briefing session.
Exactly. That's exactly what it felt like, Ben. I was being dictated to.
Folks, yeah. I'm just doing my job.
I was being put in my place, and I was being told how things will go down this morning.
Yeah, he's all business in the morning, is Sia Sangweni.
That's the kind of power you have, Sia.
So at 7:30, we've got Dilikus Volskenk, who is the star in Maze Runner, The Death Cure.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was in Batman versus Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he was
the one with Ben Affleck and Gal Gadot and.
Yeah, it's just orcs. No one liked that movie.
Why didn't you like it?
Ben Affleck didn't like that movie. Gal Gadot did not like that movie.
Okay.
Was Gal Gadot in Batman and Superman?
Yeah.
No, she's Wonder Woman.
She is Wonder Woman, but
and
I mean,
she was in Batman and Superman.
Yes.
Well, they did very well in hiding her from the general audience. Anyway, so Dilikus will be able to tell us all about that.
What a great way to drum up the 7:30 interview.
Yeah, but you know what? Dilikus, he's in superhero movies. He must come in fighting.
Bless his heart. He's also been on GakeNet and other things nationally as well.
I mean, I can imagine when you're a star in movies like that, GakeNet won't snap you up straight away.
Oh.
So we got that at 7:30. There at 8 o'clock, there is Clint Brunk. Nice variety of Afrikaans individuals here who are very talented in the arts, I must always say.
Let me just say, since we are discussing interviews, folks, this is a new, fresh interview. We do new interviews twice a week now, pre-recorded interviews. We recorded this last week sometime, obviously before Gareth left for France. And Clint, you may know him from his backstage days. Do you remember backstage?
Yes, I do. I remember that, Clint.
On ETV.
Yeah.
Oh, those days. He's also been on Generations. He's currently on Binnenlanders. But if we go way back in the day, when Clint was on backstage, and really I'm not taking the mickey out of the situation, you need to hear from him as he talks about this in the interview. He had a girlfriend who also starred in backstage.
Oh, yes, this story.
And do you remember how massive it was when they were involved in a car
accident.
The girlfriend died?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was just massive. He was 21 years old at the time.
I remember that, because I used to watch backstage, because that's when I only had, like, E at home.
Mm. But it was the thing to watch as well.
It was the thing.
And I'm not doing it any justice at all. The way Clint describes and tells of this experience, just put yourself in the shoes of a 21-year-old who's absolutely in love with this girl. And I don't want to spoil a lot, but he was actually on his way to Cape Town with his girlfriend, and the girlfriend's sister was in the car as well. And he was on his way to Cape Town to propose to her. And he was in the driver's seat when this accident took place. What that does to you at 21 years old, as you have to deal with this, and it also became a trial legally, because now it's like, well, it was culpable homicide, it went on for years.
Wow.
you need to hear from him and how he dealt with that and what he's learned from that. Yeah, so that's 8 o'clock, folks.
Wow, well, that's life-changing.
Yeah.
Massively so.
But yeah, I mean, this is why you guys love Cliff Central. That's why you keep coming back. We get to tell real stories and get people to really kind of open up about things rather than jamming them into segments where they've got to, you know, cut short because we need to go to traffic. So, oh, as you can see, action-packed show here on the 6th of February. If you are listening live, you are most welcome to get in touch with us. WhatsApp 079-748-2090. Otherwise, on the WeChat Cliff Central official account, guys like Graham or Ashley or Kala. You know, we have regulars who are always on the money and obviously hold us accountable.
Okay,
to
then, all
speaking
right.
English properly and other facts and kind of things. So, yeah, get in touch with us. And the Skype line, Sia, should we even say go on the Skype line? Yeah, okay, sure. Go on the Skype line if you wanted to. Anyway, so yesterday I had a really, really great day.
Oh, that's good.
I got to hang out with an absolute sporting superstar.
Gary Player.
No, not sporting god. Oh. Well, you've got to get the terminology right.
Sorry,
I mean,
you know.
We've been doing this for so long now.
It's hard to keep up with you, Ben.
So last Friday, I went to a press conference for the World's Long Drive World Series. So basically, you get golf, where you start off by hitting the ball off the tee. You guys with me this far?
Yes, you line up the stick thingy and you swing and then it
always
hits the ball.
Always say club. Stick's what you get beaten with.
Club.
So there's actually like a sub kind of section of golf, which is maybe not the best way to describe it, but basically there's an entire World Series that just guys hitting driver. So big, burly brutes of men just thrashing the golf ball for like hundreds and hundreds of meters.
Are these the guys who weren't good enough to be pros, so they created they created like a subsection for themselves to feel better about themselves?
Well, see, golf is a very complex sport, and to become a golf professional is one hell of a task, and it's very mental, plus obviously the physical side of things. But yeah, look, Mubs, that's a fair assumption for some people, I guess. Some of them just believe that their talents are better used elsewhere. Uh-huh. And the World Long Drive Series is just, it's like the athlete section of golf. So you know, golf gets a bit of a bad reputation for having a couple of fatties, a couple of drunks, a couple of serial womanizers live in trailers. But These guys, they are complete and utter athletes, but like they murder the golf ball.
Okay.
So 2-time world champion Joe Miller was in the country over the weekend. So I went and met him at the press conference, and then because there was so much attention and hype around the dude, I couldn't interview him on the day. Like, I was expecting to go to this press conference and there would be maybe like, I don't know, 10, 15 people, mostly because they got sent there by their media bosses. But it was like an hour and a half. The guy was so good with the crowd, answering all kinds of questions. And like, there was just so much interest in the room, and it was just really cool. And as you know, like, sport's my life. So when I go to places like this, it really kind of makes me feel very good. So yesterday, I actually got a chance to hang out with him on the driving range because there was another thing. He was filming for Man Cave. So Jason Goliath was actually interviewing him for a feature.
He is so good, that Jason Goliath.
That Jason, he is great.
Whenever, I'm just a sweet guy.
Yeah, he is. He's just such a great guy. Whenever he's coming to the studio, he's made us laugh and we've had a great time. Obviously, his comedy club is the place to go to as well. So Jason rocks up yesterday to do this whole thing for Man Cave, and it is solid gold. Yeah, we're not endorsing SABC or anything here, but good content is good content. This TV show is going to be amazing with this feature. So Joe's like 6'4", monster of a man.
Big.
Yeah, but like one of the most charismatic sports people you ever come across. So I had a good chat to him yesterday. So the Bounce Show on Thursday will be a full feature with him. I even chat to his agent, who's also a very interesting guy. But just like when you meet someone who's really good at what they do, first up, no matter what it is, mm-hmm. like it's Sia being the executive producer of the show, or it's Joe with, you know, whacking balls, whatever it is, it's so inspiring to see someone who's got like just a mastery that you will probably never ever get to.
Excellence is always noted.
Yeah, exactly. But it's so cool to be around people like this. It's just so fun. And whatever it is that you take out of that, you can go do your stuff a lot better, all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. It's almost as if they rub off a bit of their... Not their talent per se, but they make you feel like you want to strive for better in your own field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, completely. So there's a local long drive circuit, the Quantum Driving guys. So what they do is they have regionals and then you get SA champions. And the whole thing is to aspire to this Long Drive World Series. And in April, there's actually going to be an event here in South Africa, which is really massively exciting. So it'll be out in Sun City and that will be April. So Joe will basically be taking on the best of the world and the local guys. And yesterday I got to just hang out and see him thrash the golf balls. So if you go onto my Instagram account, The Bounce, there's a slow-mo of him swinging. I mean, even you guys will look at that and go, how is this possible? Even if you don't even understand golf. Like, it just defied physics, gravity, general science, biology, everything.
So Joe is now 33 years old. Is there a particular age when a golfer says, okay, cool, I've reached my peak, or I'm not as good as I am anymore? Because in my novice mind, it's not really physically a lot playing golf. So, I mean, are there pro golfers who are in their 40s?
Yeah, of course. Some guys hit their prime in their 40s. Wow. There's an entire seniors tour where you have to be 50 is the minimum age to get going.
And these are pro players?
Proper golfers, actual world-known golfers. So the whole thing about golf is that you can play it for the longest. That's why people get into it. And so when they retire, they can literally escape their wives completely on the golf course, because you can still play it when you're old.
Does that mean you can start later in life as well?
Sure. You can start when you're 40s, yeah.
But also at a pro level. I'm just trying to see if
like the pro
hope.
Level, like you need to be pretty good early on, because you don't just suddenly have a good summer on the driving range and you're on the major circuit.
Oh yeah, in my head, that's how it was working. Never mind.
No,
okay.
In your head, you were trying to figure out whether you should consider golfers as potential partners. Because as we all know, you want to become a house husband and lounge around in a mansion for
the
rest of
your
life.
I'm still in the hopes that I'll find some sort of talent of mine in the world, one day I'll go scuba diving and I'll be a pro scuba diver.
But, I can just imagine Sia. He somehow gets onto the pro tour. He starts wiggling his ass in the driving range.
Can I tell you? I actually had a very bad experience with golf clubs years ago. Years ago. Okay. I went to a driving range and I hit someone in the face. So ever since then.
How? With a club? A ball? Mm-hmm.
And I thought I was being all cute and I was doing an extra swing and I went all the way back with tons of vigor and they were behind me.
Why am I not even shocked?
God bless her soul. She was our neighbor.
You hit her.
You hit a woman with a golf club in the face.
I did it before Tiger Woods put it into fashion. I'm not proud of it. It really is bad. Jeez, and she still has do you remember the rapper Nelly, when he used to have that trend of putting a plaster underneath his eye?
Yeah.
That's what basically where I hit her. Askis Pindi, wherever you're on the world.
Wow.
Yeah, the real story is Pindi's actually dead. And Sia actually hit her with a golf club in the alley. And the driving range is just the fluff of the story.
I mean, with you swinging clubs at women, you might have been protesting outside Luthuli House yesterday. Assaulting women in the street.
That was a mess.
Yeah, completely. But we'll get into that with five things.
We will get into that. So every week now, what I'm doing is to make myself work harder. This is another thing I discovered last week. See, because once Gareth's away, we got more stuff to do. But what I found out, strange enough, is that the more you do, the more you can kind of achieve, which sounds stupid. But the stuff you normally do, you get done so much quicker because you've got other bigger things to do.
Mm.
So I've started this weekly vlog now, which is 10 minutes of life around here. So if I film certain stuff, don't be worried.
Oh, you see, I walked in here and I saw a little gadget I immediately got a little bit nervous because Ben has got a camera in the studio. What? What's going on?
I was already sitting up straighter.
No.
Look, I've got a GoPro. It's literally it's over the mixing desk right now. You might see a bit of Sia's heavage, but Dora, you're not on.
This is actually not too bad. I wore a shirt today and I was considering it. No, it's one button down. It's fine.
Yeah, so I've already got one episode out.
Yeah, you're on the first episode of my vlog.
I feel so honored, so privileged, but this is bad lighting for my face, so I don't exactly appreciate it either.
Okay, all right. Yeah, Sia makes a cameo on my first episode.
Okay,
and
then
he promptly dismisses me for bad lighting.
No, listen, there's certain things that should not be done. And Ben had his lens right in my face.
I was filming from my phone angle, about 2 meters away from you.
It's still a lens. But Mabale, let me tell you, last week Ben briefed me. Sia, I'm going to film you for my vlog. This is an awesome opportunity. I'm like, okay, bro, just
was I constipated?
Film away, do what you gotta do.
This is an awesome opportunity. Hella said
you
that.
You made it sound like you are my stage dad and you were breaking me into Broadway.
Yeah,
my life will never be the same.
It's funny how you can say the most mundane thing to Sia and all he hears is a Bette Midler moment.
No.
No, nice. Yeah. But anyway, thank you for being on my vlog. But you know what else?
I don't think I had a choice. You just shoved that.
Okay, so shut up. Now you make me sound like a bad guy. You know what else is vlogging it nowadays, though?
Do tell.
Here it comes.
We just landed in Sydney. You know, Will tragedy Smith. Already. Oh. I spent my whole career making Australian friends. Like, just for this occasion. So I'm checking my stuff, and Margot Robbie ain't here.
Sorry.
Hugh Jackman, he ain't here.
Go f*** yourself.
Basically, I need new Australian friends. I know Joel Edgerton better be here. He better be here. I'm gonna hit him right now. He better be here.
So you know that that really crappy clip where it's about you guys must go and fail, where basically Will Smith plagiarized every bumper sticker in traffic that day?
Stop.
Well, he's now vlogging. So he's literally got obviously like a camera crew that goes around with him. Every now and again, he grabs it for that little spontaneous, like sincere look.
Mm.
But yeah, he's putting together. You can now follow Will Smith as he vlogs his way around the world.
Last place on the tour. A normal man would be tired, but I don't even realize that I've done anything yet. It's like, I'm a little tired. It's true. And if we don't have a YouTube channel, it has to be based on authenticity. I'm ready to go home. Reckless sleepy night-night. With my blankie. I'm just bored.
So this is the pros and cons of vlogging. I watch a lot of vlogs because I'm curious as to how YouTube is becoming this like incredible all-consuming medium.
Mm.
Like I don't really watch mainstream TV at all. I watch Netflix and I watch YouTube. If I ever want to find out anything, YouTube's amazing. The production value is so good with a lot of these vloggers is that you're getting stuff that you'd probably find like mainstream quality, but niche content.
Mm.
And it's like 10, 15 minutes, it's well packaged, and of course it's free. But now the other side of vlogging is when you're tired, there's you, there's your phone, and you feel like you have to talk.
That's kind of a cool shot, though. I like that shot.
Don't hit that wing. Don't hit the wing.
All right.
Watch your wing.
So my early estimations, it feels like Will's on the other side. So he's going around just like talking into the camera, which again, maybe it's cool because he's a movie star. You don't expect it whatsoever.
Mm.
Like, it's such an interesting genre for me of entertainment.
But can I just ask a question here? And I know it's bound to get a little bit controversial. No, I lie. It's not controversial at all. But you know how a lot of people like to poo-poo reality television?
Yeah.
How is vlogging that much different from watching a reality TV show? See, camera good, in good somebody's point. Face, talking, you know.
Seeing someone else live their lives.
Yes, guys.
Well, see, my buddy, nothing gets past you. And, well, you are so right. It's just another form of reality TV, but it's more real than ever because it's such a personal experience. The whole thing is that reality TV is for an audience. Vlogging is almost for like an individual because you feel like it's a one-on-one experience. I think that the best guys who do vlogging give you the opportunity to think that it's just your eyes on their window. Whereas like Big Brother, Jerry Springer, the Kardashians, Proteus matches, you know, that's all like mass kind of consumption.
Yeah, okay. It's also probably less scripted. I mean, we all know how Ryan Seacrest kind of narrates the Kardashian storyline. Exactly. It's pre-planned.
Did he knock up that Jenner girl?
No, that was... Well, what's his name?
Stupid rapper. Travis Scott.
Okay, yeah, well, there you go. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting to me. And this whole wave as well of vlogging and especially YouTube has been such an equalizer. I mean, Will Smith in all of his Will Smithness is on the exact same level as some 19-year-old in their bedroom. And that excites me as someone within the media industry and broadcasting world. That is exciting. That it doesn't matter what sort of equipment you have or, you know, how many followers you have on social media or where you are in the world. We're now almost at this same level, and it's all about the quality that you can bring into things.
Well, yeah, there's definite elements of truth in there, but it's also got to the point where we are so like we just need truth. Truth is the one thing that gets our attention nowadays. We're so tired of all the fabricated crap. And even though a lot of these vlogs are, and if you see how these things get made, I mean, I'm trying to make my vlog as genuine as possible. So mm-hmm. when I walk up to Sierra and talk to him, I haven't pre-briefed him. I haven't gone and told him this is a big opportunity for him. And yes, I sure as hell I haven't got great lighting because I haven't got really expensive equipment.
Yeah.
But a lot of these vlogs also, like, they will set up shots for days. And, like, they will set up these things to make them look spontaneous. But the thing is, you can see it, though. You can see the difference between someone who's doing things off the cuff and then doing things. So Will Smith has gone for the absolute raw version. So a lot of us, like, on this, the front of his phone, you can see... And he does. He looks hammered, like tired and like really crap at times.
So,
but people like that.
What is he doing here? He's just traveling from one country to another and he takes us along for the ride?
Felt it. She's too fine for it to go right. It's going to bite me in the ass. And just now.
He sounds like Joe Jackson. He's like, it's like sleep deprived in a hotel and he's just, someone's filming him and he's just going live.
Jeez, did he just see like a hot woman or something?
The bright tour is over. I brought my son. You know, I brought my son. I love you. Because I knew I loved you more than life itself. I love you.
See, and obviously there's a great team of editing people who are cutting in like flashbacks and really great like set staging and all that kind of stuff. So good for him. But if you have vlogs that you watch, then let us know. If you don't know what vlogs are or you don't care or you find them stupid, you know you're welcome to share your views at any given stage here. If I can get this mouse to work. Today I'll try to be a bit more diligent on the messages, just that yesterday was so busy and then Justice came in, and Justice as always was an absolute fire yesterday. So you know the ANC top six with Zuma stepping down, the DA, I mean, how many times do these guys shoot themselves in the foot? You know, all in yesterday's podcast on cliffcentral.com. So Simba, our friend from Zimbabwean friend from America, I guess, very long intro, but that's essentially the crux of who he is. Now, Simba is, obviously, he lives in America, so he's subscribed to all the things that they live by, like Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And look at him go. How about them Eagles? What an awesome Super Bowl. I think I'm still drunk.
Oh.
Ooh.
I wonder if Simba was involved in any of the... I don't know what is wrong with human beings. So the Eagles won, and then in... The Eagles fans thought the best way to celebrate would be to vandalize things. So that's exactly what they did.
The vandalizing the Patriots' property.
Dude, I don't know what the story is here, but apparently it happened out of Philadelphia and they were just so excited and so drunk, apparently, that they just started destroying the area that they were in.
Simba, I hope you didn't destroy anything.
But you just won. Like, I don't get it.
It's bizarre. I think, that's human beings for you.
They'd lost would be an issue, but...
Well, okay. It's like they were so surprised. So, like, you know, Giselle, she's married to
Tom Brady.
Giselle told her kids that because Tom Brady, like, dropped this pass, like, this pivotal moment. I mean, he was going to get tackled by the much youngest, faster guy anyway. But Giselle said to the kids, oh, Daddy let the Eagles win because they don't normally win. So that's obviously why they vandalized things. So it's basically Giselle's fault.
When is he going to retire, though? He's 41 now.
Yeah, we spoke about this last week.
Retire on top.
Yeah, like maybe he's just so doesn't want to go home to her.
Oh. I'm sorry. Who doesn't want to go home to Giselle Bündchen?
I find Giselle. She's not my pick. Anyway.
You don't want to Giselle her Bündchen?
So, yeah, behave. So Simba goes on to say about the whole vlogging thing that he thinks Will Smith isn't just traveling the world. It's because the FBI is closing in on him and he's on the run, justice for Tupac.
Wow, Simba, I can't believe that you are. On the Ben team on that.
Simba's an intelligent guy. No, and like I with this whole theory that he did kill Tupac.
Oh.
The truth comes out, Mubs. This is the thing.
Well, if we go with that theory and he's on the run.
That theory.
Why would he show where he is? Because that's essentially what vlogging is.
Smoke screens, yeah. He goes and hires like 20 Asians to get in the bus with him, saying he's in Korea. Meanwhile, Detroit.
Okay, Ben.
You guys underestimate the sinisterness of humankind.
I just said, okay, I shall neither confirm nor deny.
All right, and the Cape Town water update. I've got a what's happened here. The building I work in cut the water in kitchens and taps in the bathrooms. They also put on signs saying, we use 36 out of 50 liters at work, and we must keep that in mind. So tired of this shit.
Okay, I get it, and it's a crisis.
Work.
But isn't that like against regulations at work? Like, I remember if we didn't have water at school, it was a major thing. Like health codes and regulations or something or the other.
That's a good point to raise.
It is, but so there's a sign saying we use 36 out of 50 liters at work. That's my next question is, if it's 50 liters per person, what happens at work? Do you add up your employees, times it by 50, and that's your water for the day?
Yeah.
And what do they turn
off? Because it's quite
tough.
I mean, like, do interns get a full 50 or are they on 35?
Since they are interns.
Does the CEO push to 75?
They probably start them on maybe 12 and a half. You know, interns, they live a rough life.
And what do they turn off in the bathrooms?
Well, basically, they, from the sound of the message, they...
Was it the taps in the bathroom?
Taps in the bathroom and the kitchen. Ooh. And they probably can't flush the toilets either, which is great at work.
But I tell you what, if you are still flushing toilets in Cape Town willy-nilly, then, well, that's when you should be thrown into the sea.
So are you saying at this point they really should just be used to the smell?
Yeah.
Well, but also, I'm sorry, I'd rather be deemed disrespectful, but I will stop shaking hands with people.
Mm-hmm. No, you shouldn't. I mean,
just let's stop that.
Cape Townians are going to have this whole new sort of, they're going to have this virtual 5 thing going, or CSS, the Bluetooth 5.
Mm.
There's no touching, but the gesture is there.
We did also say that they probably should stop having oral sex as well.
Well, but obviously.
I'm just saying, Sia.
I'm pretty sure that was Helen's last Twitter update.
If you're allowed to shower for 2.5 seconds, I'm not having oral sex with you after that.
I just got a
whiff. You didn't get into the cracks, man.
I just got a whiff that I don't want to.
Dips says, and how considerate is this? Dips actually starts his message or her message with Dips says. Smart, huh?
Yeah.
Dips says, I'm surprised Mubs didn't come in crying after Common's injury yesterday.
He was playing b-ball.
Yeah,
outside of school with a couple of guys.
Oh, here we go.
He's had plenty of injuries, I'm sure. So it's okay, you know. Hey,
Dips, as Fayon Behardin says, chicks dig scars.
That's what boys do.
Mm. On the note of Common, sorry, Mabali, he was not the one who was chosen by Castle Light to perform this year, Askisne. Mm. But previously, you do know that Castle Light Unlocks has brought us Kanye West, they've brought us Drake and J. Cole as well. But now, Castle Light are bringing you award-winning artist Chance the Rapper. They're bringing Chance their exhilarating extra cold experiences. The concert takes place on the 30th of April, so mark that down in your calendars now, at the Ticket Pro Dome. Get your tickets now from CompuTickets. You don't want to miss this. Hashtag Castle Lights Unlocks exclusive. Counting down to April. It's amazing.
All right. Very nice. Yeah, thanks very much. It is time to get to Mabali with the 5 things you need to know. But first,
it came from outside. You were in the kitchen when you first noticed it. Soapies and alone time was the plan. But the green agents confirmed your worst fear. Umoya Umubi has returned. And now, it's found a new chaff palsy in the dustbin outside. Your favorite show is about to come on. But if you don't act now, Amadimoni from outside will take over your entire home. Yeah, try water the bin down. Yay! Umoya Umubi is still strong. 1.5 minutes till we find out if Tao and Jack are still alive. But wait. To defeat Umoya Umuzi, you're going to need the staring to karate spin kick the jam. Ah, yes. Another afternoon of soapy watching. Saved. Jay's fluid. The strong one.
All right. I'll tell you who else is very strong when it comes to news. It's Mabali Maloy.
Well, I'll tell you what. A lot of outrage yesterday as a result of a video that emerged of a woman being brutally assaulted outside Luthuli House. Yesterday, ANC members were waiting outside Luthuli House for a march by the Black First Land First group, who are in support of President Jacob Zuma. Calls have been mounting for the president to step down ahead of the State of the Nation address, which is happening on Thursday. And then the situation outside Luthuli House very quickly got volatile, with clashes breaking out between the groups. However, the people were not just fighting each other. The visuals that emerged from the fray clearly show a man who has been identified as an ANC member kicking an older woman twice in her stomach. The men wearing ANC-branded T-shirts pulled the woman from a buggy and then violently attacked her. But that's not the worst of it. The attack happened in full view of the police.
This is just so, there's so many sad elements to the story. Firstly, the Black First Land First. They've got to get that acronym right eventually at some stage.
BLF.
Yeah, but where's the F? Where's the BFLF? Because the blacks aren't coming first if it goes Black Land. I don't know. But it's these guys with their, you know, paid for protests. I mean, you can literally, I mean, I'm pretty sure with the right money, these guys will campaign for Israel. Like, they don't stand for anything other than you can pay them to just be rebel rousers wherever they want. And then, like, just public violence over someone as low as Jacob Zuma.
Yeah, it was very upsetting to see all of this unfolding yesterday. So the ANC have since named the man who was seen kicking the woman in the video. His name is Thabiso Setona, and they're saying that, you know, he will face a disciplinary process hastily. So, yeah.
It's one of those ANC internal things, like when their MPs beat women in clubs.
Slap on the wrist and we move on.
Slap on the wrist. Yeah. Never,
if even.
Never charges any brought forward, you know. It's just another one of those. So, as a result, the ANC's National Executive Committee are going to be meeting tomorrow to discuss the State of the Nation address. But then again, this is exactly what Justice predicted to us yesterday. They are planning to all gather and meet tomorrow on the eve of the SONA address, which is expected to happen on Thursday. And there is where the decision will be taken on what to do with uBabaka Duduzane. Yeah, Justice did say that this was going to be an interesting week, so we'll continue to keep our eye on this story. In the meantime, Cape Town have decided to move their day zero again. It was scheduled to be on April the 16th. It's now been moved to May the 11th. The city of Cape Town saying that a decline in agricultural use has contributed to the reduction in consumption of water. So they are contending an unprecedented drought. And the province's dam levels are so low that if residents don't reduce their water consumption, taps will run dry. But as of yesterday, the announcement being made that day zero has moved from April the 16th to May the 11th.
Interesting one. Is this a good thing or a bad thing to announce? Should it rather be a pleasant surprise? Because now people are going to go, oh, okay, cool, I'm back to using more water.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. Because then also, on the extreme opposite end, it could be used to encourage people to keep using water wisely.
Oh, that's that was my next point. That it could be a great positive reaffirmation. Sorry, words.
We're all struggling with this language today.
But we get your train of thought.
It's kind of like, okay, well, if we achieved this in a small space of time, but actually, you know, listening to Helen, maybe we can really just eradicate day zero altogether.
Mm. Yeah, if we just keep behaving.
Just keep not flushing.
Just keep not flushing and all that other stuff. But staying with that part of the country, the Western Cape, Patricia de Lille has decided to fight back. So she has threatened legal action against her party.
At this stage, I'm kind of actually for Patricia. Just go ahead.
Okay. DeLille yesterday evening tweeted portions of a letter sent by her legal team to the federal chairman James Self over the publication of an affidavit by businessman Anthony Fowle in the media at the weekend. Remember, the DA brought criminal charges against DeLille, and she is deciding, hail to the no, here's a bit of legal action of your own. So DeLille not going to go down here without a fight. And then lastly, just to take it back to SONA a little bit, I guess the decision has been taken this year to glam it up a little bit, if you will, because local stars have been invited to attend SONA. According to the official South African government news agency, this includes people like local rapper Caspano Vest, Grammy Award-winning group Ladysmith, Black Mambazo have been invited. Even Miss Universe Demi Lee Nell Peters has also been invited to attend SONA. There's a theme. I didn't know that this thing has a theme every year.
Oh, well, when the plight of the people is the least of your worries, sure, make it fancy dress.
So the theme for this year's address will be making the future work better. Sorry.
Oh.
It just reminded me of Make America Great Again.
What a cuck theme.
Making the
future work better is this year's theme. Learning from Madiba. So we don't know if any of these celebrities who have been invited to attend SONA will bother going there. I mean, as I understand it, Demi Lee Nell Peters is in the States currently. I don't see her flying down.
She's jet setting everywhere.
To attend Sona.
You know the whole thing about learning from Madiba? That's like 10 years ago. It's learning from what not to do from Ujekob. That should be the theme. I mean, we can all stand here and go, ah, Madiba, Madiba. No, sorry, that's already passed. We've had this dickhead for 10 years. He really ruined everything Madiba taught us.
Well, a big part of what people enjoy about Sona is what happens on the red carpet, because as we all know, politicians can't dress for shit. And we know that the fashion on Sona always trends. So a lot of people will be looking forward to see ripping these politicians to shreds based on their dress sense.
Have they invited Skolpat?
Skolpat, you know what?
Your girl.
They've got to invite her to Sona. I want the force dress on the red carpet of Sona.
Oh boy, yeah, that's an idea.
If they want to make Parliament better and the country work better because of Madiba, Skolpat's got to be there.
Yeah. Really?
Is she our ambassador of progress?
Yeah. She is the people's superstar.
She's the chosen one.
She's also a nurse, so she's actually doing something with the community.
Yep. Those are the five things you need to know. I'll have more news after 7.
All right. As per usual, every single day, we try to give you a bit of cryptocurrency and what's happening there. Well, it continues to fall out of its flush area. Bitcoin is down to $6,132.
Shame.
It is almost a third of what it was at that huge, dizzying peak at like the end of December. Ethereum was also... Everything's down. Everything's down. And Ethereum's down to $618. So some people are saying, well, you know, in times of disaster, many see disaster, but some see opportunity.
Mm.
That's just me trying to sound like, you know...
Like run.
Yeah, objective. I'm trying to...
It just looks like, well, you know, China's kind of like turning its back on Bitcoin now. And when the Asians do stuff like that, then, well, that's just huge numbers. Because as you know, there's many, many Asians.
Yeah, I wonder if it will ever recover. It's interesting what's happening in crypto land right now.
Although some people are saying the moment Asia bans or the Chinese ban something, that's when you know you should be investing. It's like...
What's the thought behind that?
It's because they like to regulate and control things, so...
Like something that's massive. Okay.
It's like Anthea has all those like finance sayings. Like even the cheap boats rise in a full harbor.
I don't think she's ever said that.
I was about to say, did I miss that edition of the Money Shot?
But nice try, Ben. Very nice. Very slick.
Don't ever throw money after a falling cat. I think that's another one she says.
Hashtag things Anthea says.
Okay,
in a bull market, always be a cowboy.
Okay, bull market I have actually heard.
Right, so we got to get into some sport. Sia, how am I doing so far? Running order nailed.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Sure.
With hesitation there.
No, it was, well.
So never putting you in any of my vlogs ever again.
We're probably a minute and 30 seconds off, but it's fine.
Yeah. There's not much sport today, I got to be honest with you. There's obviously Pyeongchang is so close now.
How close?
So close. Well, my buddy, the 9th of February is when they'll be just getting it going.
Wow.
How very exciting.
3 days.
That's this weekend.
Yeah, guys.
Sure.
I've been preparing you for this. I mean, there is no naivety or unknown elements about the Winter Olympics. But there's some African stars that are going to be there. I'll tell you about. There are Kenyan alpine skiers. There's Nigerian skeleton racers. And also a skeleton racer from... Ghana. Akwasi Frimpong from Ghana will be a skeleton racer. Simidele Adegbo will be from Nigeria and a skeleton racer. And then Sabrina Samanda will be the 19-year-old Kenyan alpine skier. Yeah, look at that. Africa getting into the Winter Olympics. How very exciting. There's a big, the whole thing about taking pit girls away from F1. You know, yesterday on the reality check with Rich Mulholland. So he brought up the issue talking about how, you know, is it women's rights? Is it feminism gone wrong? Whatever it is. Well, the F1 are now replacing the glamorous models with...
Uh-oh. Robots.
See ya?
Grid people. Not grid girls, but grid people.
Kids.
Oh, okay. Rugrats.
Kids, yeah.
I see disaster.
Well,
I see them running all over the track and then an accident happens.
Exactly.
Yeah,
not toddlers, guys. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but they're children, which means that they're still idiots.
They're the next generation of karting superstars are now going to be standing next to the heroes on the grid.
Whitney Houston said, I believe the children are our future. She did not say, I believe the children can change tires and things.
Just
waving flags.
You've got to apply yourself because you just ruin these things. They're not there to change tires. That's a pit crew. Yeah, so on the grid where the girls used to stand, if you ever listen to these stories, that's they are now replacing them. So they'll stand there with the umbrellas or whatever it is, but they'll stand there. And if one believe this will inspire the next generation of F1 superstars, no, it's not. It's going to get those dodgy pedophiles watching.
Another
point.
No,
another it's going to be like, point. Oh, I'm going to go have a watch some F1.
Oh, don't say it like that.
All right, Bob Hewitt. So that's F1's big master plan. Like, it's cute to think that, like, you know, oh, the next Lewis Hamilton could be standing on the grid. Yeah. I tell you what, like, it's going to be that dark element. Let's be honest, that's what the life is done for a lot of people. But then who's going to watch that? Oh, I'm not going to watch the grid. There's little children there.
Mm. Yeah.
Unsupervised children. Like, I don't know, maybe it's the wrong audience. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe there's something quite cute and lovely about this. But that's what F1 is trying so hard to now spin this as a real positive, because they're getting the next generation of superstars to be on the track from an early age. There'll be either a lottery system, or it'll be sort of chosen around the fact that, you know, Lewis Hamilton, that whole story of how he came from a go-karting background. Mm-hmm. He then said to Mercedes, you guys are going to hire me one day. I'm going to be your superstar driver. So now every one of these snotty little kids are going to get onto the grid and go, I'm going to be better than you one day. And they're going to be like, oh, shut up.
They're also cutting on costs if these kids have to apply and it's their dream. So they don't have to pay these kids.
Smart, sir. Now you're back in it. This week in the Nedbank Cup. So the cup competitions have been a little bit quiet in South Africa, but they're all back. And of course, this is like SA's version of the FA Cup. So you'll see the likes of Tata Bucks will be playing Ubuntu Cape Town. Other greats like Orbit College, Stellenberg United. There's some really great teams in here. EC Beers. Happy Wanderers. How about them, Sia? You like them? They're playing on Sunday against the Royal Eagles. So yeah, we'll get into that as of tomorrow. And cricket. Let's just finish off with the cricket, because this is a real dire time for the Proteas. Not only have they lost Faf du Plessis, AB de Villiers, they've given the captaincy to Eden Markram, which is on a wing and a prayer, really. Quinton de Kock has now got a wrist injury, and he'll be out for the rest of the ODI series. If you are a betting person, I would say the Proteas haven't got a hope in hell in winning any more of the matches. They're currently 2-0 down in a 6-match series. Sunday at the Wanderers could be their best chance, because they always win the Pink International. But if AB isn't back, or if he's got a golf game on, I can't see it happening. The wrist spinners for India have taken 13 of the 18 wickets. They are looking devastating right now. And Clarsons looks like he's going to come in and be the wicketkeeper. So you've got all kinds of stars that you wouldn't ordinarily have in this team. Not only in them, but they have to do a really, really big job. Very, very sad. Yeah. But hey, you can't always win.
And this is the thing that you've got to realize about life.
That's what Anthea said as well.
Oh, hashtag things, Anthea says.
Yeah, but like they went 12 in a row. There's all kinds of records that are now tumbling on the other side of the coin, which isn't particularly good. But hey, that's Tuesday. Not a whole bunch of sport going. But like I said at the start of the show, Thursday, great episode of The Bounce Show featuring World Long Drive champion Joe Miller. I'm excited about that. So are you guys. I can see it.
Thrilled.
Yes.
Thrilled. Well, we need to get to Sia with his happiness. But before we get into that, hey guys, I'll be supporting my cousin in the Winter Olympics. Her name is Andy Nordea, and she is a mogul skier for Canada. Have I said that right? Mogul skier? Sia, what's a mogul skier?
Maybe she's a mogul in whatever industry she's in, and she's a skier as well.
Okay, so they basically take all the moguls and then put them on the ice.
Ben, if you're asking me a sporting question, that's the answer you'll get.
Yeah, but see, I'm giving you a chance to redeem yourself.
No.
No, you are sabotaging him, Ben.
I don't even need to redeem myself, because there ain't no hope.
Okay.
Okay, and well, congratulations to your cousin.
Here's a message from Michelle. Morning all. The water situation... Oh, see, Capetonians here, they've got to start every sentence with the water situation, because it's all-consuming. Just when you thought they were all faking it for sympathy, it is a real, real deal. Morning all, the water situation is a way of life. It's not all that hard to use very little water. I agree. I can no longer even wait for the water in the shower to get hot. Yeah, I always find that really annoying. You know, you get the showers where it takes forever to get hot?
Mm-hmm.
I've got like, I've got two bathroom cleaning areas in my apartment. The one's got this geezer, which is like, it's like a soldier. He's just ready to go. And it's like hot. You like make tea out of him.
Mm.
And then the one downstairs, it's like, yeah, get there in a second. So that's what she says. Get wet, turn off water, lather up and rinse. Max 3 liters, Michelle. Well, there's 3 liter shower, Michelle. See, Michelle, that could be a new nickname.
3 liter shower, Michelle.
3 liter shower, Michelle. Here's another one. The building I work in. Oh, no, that was, okay, here we go. Sorry, there's just so many messages around Cape Town's water. I don't want to read all of them. I'm trying to find the best ones for you. Our company has put in drastic steps to avoid day zero. No dishes to be washed at work. Paper cups and plates. Wheelie bins with water outside the toilets with a small bucket to take in with you. Each person gets 500 milliliters of bottled water per day. Shit's getting real here. Because it's not getting flushed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Right. Okay. Well, on from water crisis to Sia Sangweni. We know how to segue things in the show. Oh. Yes, well, the aux cable is working today.
Yay!
Glad you all noticed. Thanks,
well,
to Vish.
Well, Disney World just actually might be the happiest place on earth based on what recently happened to a New Jersey father who has been waiting for a kidney transplant for the longest of times. So because he's been on the waiting list and desperately in need for a new kidney, he decided to take matters into his own hands by simply putting on a t-shirt with the writing on it that says, "In need of a kidney." So his name is Robert Leibovitz. He's 60 years old, and he's been in need of a new kidney for 3 years after suffering from chronic kidney disease. And he never imagined how this magical family vacation to the Magic Kingdom would be after securing a kidney from a stranger, thanks to another stranger's Facebook post about his handmade t-shirt. So, Robert, that's his name, there we go. He says, "I thought, you know, if I can get one person who's my blood type to respond, then maybe that's my match. You know, it's worth a $35 investment for the t-shirt." And so it was an amazing couple who took a picture of him wearing the t-shirt that reads, "In need of a kidney, O positive, please call," and there's a number listed underneath, who then posted on Facebook. Within the first week, this picture got more than 90,000 Facebook shares. 3 days walking around Disneyland, his phone wouldn't stop ringing. Now, one of the people who called him was Richie Sully, a father of two from Fort Wayne, who saw the Facebook post and knew that he wanted to help Leibovitz. He reached out to Leibovitz saying, "Hi, my name is Richie. I'm O positive. I have an extra kidney and you're welcome to it." Look at that. After a mountain of tests and months filled with anxiety, Leibovitz received confirmation that Richie's kidney was actually a match. Leibovitz says that he broke down and screamed, but of course, screaming in New York, nobody, and like everybody, ignores you. He says, "Words cannot explain. This guy's literally saving my life. He's giving me more time with my kids." So now Sully and Leibovitz were reportedly doing well after the surgery last week Thursday. And it's awesome that now Leibovitz plans to take Sully and the people who originally posted his picture on Facebook to Disney World yet again to celebrate what he calls his fairy tale ending. So who knew? Just printing a little message on a t-shirt, walking around Disneyland would actually help a guy save his life and get a new kidney. And that's said amazing, by Sia yeah. this morning.
Wow, what a story.
It's almost fairy tale like, and it's kind of corny, and I love it even more that it happens at Disney World because of this.
Well,
it is corny.
They should put these shirts on like Mickey and Daffy and Donald, like arrows to like sick people.
Ben.
Yeah. So that's that's our first up. Before we get into news, of course, Delicus is already here. I think he's our super guest today. Delicus Falskenk, the actor. Sia was battling with the pronunciation of his name. I probably butchered it too, but we'll get into that next hour. But first, yesterday, the Auto Central team dug into the latest motoring scandal, emissions testing on animals. What the hell?
Oh.
They also chat about the announcement that F1 grid girls are a thing of the past, so that's a big story right now, and they review the new Toyota Land Cruiser. Wow, this car's a beast. The guys actually arrived in it yesterday. In tech, they chat about all the new electric Audi that will land in SA in 2019, plus a look at the importance of motoring award shows. This is a really great show. I was actually here when they were doing it yesterday. So you can find the podcast, which is powered by Auto Trader and is now available on cliffcentral.com. George and the team, they always know what they're talking about because they get the car news first. We control the internet. We can do what we want. We can try watch TV shows. These guys get it first, and they package for you right here, cliffcentral.com. Sia, how do we do? Everything done?
Yeah, bro.
First hour, good. Mm-hmm. Gareth, obviously still in Val d'Isère, but because he's in Val d'Isère, you will now get a beautiful double player of music, starting with... What is this here?
Oh, jeez. Spice Girls? No.
You bet your ass it is. All right, we've got Delicus up next, plus the news with my buddy. Big stories. Harvey Weinstein's been doing things again.
This is CliffCentral.com.